There are three new books out about author Salman Rushdie and the controversy over his novel The Satanic Verses. Book critic John Leonard has this review of The Rushdie File, The Rushdie Affair, and Salman Rushdie Sentenced to Death.
These three books tell us what happened all over again, from the publishing of The Satanic Verses in London, to the burning of it in Bradford, to the rioting about it in Islamabad, to the banning of it throughout the Muslim world, to the Ayatollah's bloodthirsty fatwa and the $5 million price tag on Salman Rushdie's head. Daniel Pipes, director of Philadelphia's Foreign Policy Institute, wants us to understand the Muslim mind. They take their religion so seriously, they didn't even have to read the novel to be offended by the title, which Pipes back-translates from Arabic, Persian, and Turkish into a literal English, which, by extrapolation and simplification, could be said to mean the Koran was written by Satan, or the Satanic Koran. Fighting words. Besides, says Pipes, Rushdie is an immature and spoiled intellectual who brought his own troubles on himself because of his fashionable leftism, his third-worldist anti-Americanism, and the profound political irresponsibility of his position as a writer in opposition. W.J. Weatherby, U.S. correspondent for The Guardian, wants us to understand the novelist's mind. Rushdie is Indian immigrant and self-doubting egotist, an actor at Cambridge with David Hare and Germaine Greer, an ad copywriter in London with Faye Weldon, sued by Indira Gandhi because of his first novel, banned in Pakistan by Zia because of his second, in hiding and deserted by his wife because of the third. The Rushdie File, the last volume, is an anthology of almost everything anybody had to say on the subject, from Egypt's Nobel laureate Naguib Mahfouz, who called Khomeini a terrorist, to New York's Cardinal O'Connor, who promised he wouldn't read the book and encouraged other Catholics not to. Special attention is also paid in the anthology to the gutless wonders, those Western writers like John le Carré, who left Rushdie twisting in the wind. I prefer Weatherby because his book has a tragic shape. Rushdie, the immigrant from Islam to modernism, bastard child of history and doubt, between identities, a one-man culture shock, prophesied himself the whirlpool and the assassins. I'm least happy with Pipes. While we try to understand the Muslim mind, I wish Muslims dwelling in the West would try as hard to understand us and our free speech fetish. Nor, after reading a million words on Rushdie, do I believe Pipes when he says the title caused the fuss. To Pipes, I'd quote a famous line from Fran Lebowitz. People have been cooking for thousands of years, so if you are the very first to have thought of adding fresh lime juice to scalloped potatoes, try to understand there must be a reason for this. Mostly I'm disappointed. Not so much with the politicians in India, Pakistan, and England, who behaved as usual like unprincipled opportunists. And not just with the John le Carrés and V.S. Naipauls who caved in to terrorist literary criticism, but especially with Western religious leaders. You'll look in vain in these three books for a single word on Rushdie's behalf from the Vatican, or the Archbishop of Canterbury, or the chief rabbis of the United Hebrew Congregations in the British Commonwealth and the Ashkenazis in Israel. All of them deplored the book. Overnight, they forgot about Erasmus and Spinoza, Jan Hus and Thomas More, Galileo and Martin Luther, not to mention Jesus Christ, free speech on the cross.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The Rushdie File from Syracuse University Press, Daniel Pipes' The Rushdie Affair, and W.J. Weatherby's Salman Rushdie, Sentenced to Death.